This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We were talking government data a minute ago. We are now going to turn to government spending and the part it plays in this economy. We launched our series Breaking Ground a couple of months ago with this as the premise, that with the CHIPS Act and the Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act, the Biden administration is trying to change what government money can do in this economy. So we're going to spend a little time on that last one, the Inflation Reduction Act, right now. Became law in 2022. It's got some health care and some tax provisions in it. But really, it's a climate bill. So we got John Beislein on the phone. He's at the Electric Power Research Institute, where he's done a lot of analysis on how the IRA is going to affect our energy economy and how much it is going to cost, which is important because forecasts of that bill's cost are really, really variable, in large part because of something that's called uncapped tax credits. Dr. Beislein, welcome to the program. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Help me set the scene here. Congress and the White House are writing this law. They want to incentivize a certain set of climate-favorable behaviors as much as possible. They come up with these tax credits, and they say, hey, let's make them uncapped. What does that mean?
Yeah, so IRA was described, I think, initially in terms of not just its investments for lowering emissions, but also for growing jobs, enhancing energy security. And so those tax credits across several areas, you know, really aim to contribute toward those different goals, right? Making the clean energy transition not just more affordable, but also more equitable. So in the sort of detail of IRA, and of course, it's very complex, about 300 pages with hundreds of additional pages on guidance, is intended, I think, to address those many simultaneous objectives.
Right. So let's say I'm building, I don't know, a wind farm, and I hit all the targets that the Inflation Reduction Act wants me to hit. I could keep getting tax credit upon tax credit upon tax credit for hiring X number of workers or I mean, pick your parameter, right?
Yes. So the power sector tax credits in particular have quite a bit of flexibility, and they're stacked, meaning that you could have these additional bonuses that may start at a base rate of 6% for the investment tax credits. Those can be about five times larger or 30% off for meeting these labor requirements. There's also 10 percentage points for siting in a so-called energy community, and then another 10 on top of that for using domestic content. So that could mean that a wind project or a solar project gets a 50% tax credit in total.
So as you, as I'm sure you did, because this is your job, as you read the headlines a number of weeks ago saying that these tax credits were going to, actually, that's not what the headline said. The headline said the Inflation Reduction Act is going to be much more expensive than we thought, and you had to read to the 17th paragraph to figure out that it was about the tax credits in part. What were you surprised that that's the way it's getting billed in the reporting on it?
The debate about how much the Inflation Reduction Act could cost, I view as really a debate about how effective it might be in accelerating clean energy adoption. But I would say it, you know, wasn't a surprise to hear of those changes, given how much has also changed in the market environment since IRA was passed.
Well, so say more about that market environment, actually, because these changes, you know, the law is only, what, a couple of years old, but these changes in the marketplace are actually happening already.
That's right. Yeah. In the year and a half since IRA was passed, we can sort of take stock of progress, even though it's still early to unpack which trends are due to the Inflation Reduction Act versus other factors. But last year, we had a record number of clean electricity capacity installed, about 32 gigawatts nationally. But IRA projections tend to suggest something like 2 to 3 times that on average over the next decade. And likewise, electric vehicles, I think in that analysis, suggest that those are on track and are actually trending a little bit higher relative to the projections. So all of those contribute toward sort of refining our understanding of what IRA could do.
One hates to inject politics into what has been a data-driven conversation, your data and your analysis specifically, but I'm obliged to point out here that this is an election year and the Biden administration's efforts in green technology and all of these bills has not been universally popular. What happens if there's a new Congress and a new president and some of this all gets reversed?
Yeah, I would say that I can't speculate on the political future of IRA, but there are a range of policy developments at both the federal level and state levels that could shape IRA's impacts. And it's possible that energy costs for households might be higher without IRA, even if the fiscal costs are lower. But I think more broadly, one of the things that we see with IRA is that it can help to narrow this decarbonization gap, but won't likely meet the U.S. climate targets by itself. That, of course, raises these questions about what additional actions might contribute toward that in the future and how that's sort of shaped by the market environment.
Dr. John Beislein at the Electric Power Research Institute. Dr. Beislein, thanks for your time and your expertise, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.